Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? Mm-hmm. God loves somebody. He loves you.
CDC. This is yours, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland. Again, we are grateful to be here. As you can hear, I'm still a little under the weather, but we know that God is able, and we thank Him for truly He has blessed us to be able to be able to get better. And we wish everyone a happy Friday. Thank God for allowing us to be able to get into the studio one more time. I know we had a few technical difficulties on this past Thursday with our T-Nuts Bible study, and we were at the ball game on this past Sunday watching the Redskins and Cowboys play for the NFC Championship, and we were glad to be there and see the Redskins beat the Cowboys. So we had fun with that all week long. But truly, we've been blessed to be able to start a new year and to be able to thank God for allowing us to get to 2013 and to be able to just continue to minister to each other. And, you know, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about people who minister to others, particularly caregivers. We talked about this some on last year, but I think it's important for us to keep it at the forefront of people's minds, because a lot of times I think we forget that we don't have the time that we think we have, as far as total independence, where we don't need someone to help us. And, we enjoy the times that we have, that we are independent and we can do things for ourselves. But as when we came in this world as infants, we needed someone to help us. Many times on our way going out, as we age, Lord willing, we all will grace gracefully, but there is a need for caregivers in later on in age, and also during every step or every stage of our lives. And we are just grateful for the opportunity to just be able to share a little bit tonight on that subject. And so if you want to be a part of the subject tonight, You can call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. Again, we're talking about caregivers, the importance of caregivers, and we want to talk a little bit about some of the things that caregivers go through. And you see it, and sometimes you get glimpses of it. But for the most part, caregivers, the ones who take care of people for long periods of time, many times you see them, you know, briefly, but you don't see the long hours and times that they put in. And also, you don't see the time that they spend away from their families and the wear and tear that it has on them. And if you really think about it, a caregiver is a person that's giving all of their attention and all of their life for a period of time to someone else for the wellness or the betterment of someone else's life. And it's really amazing to see people do it and then do it so well and do it on a regular basis. But then you also see the effects that it has on them, where they sometimes can become ill or worn down themselves. And, you know, our hats go off to those people who have chosen and those who haven't chosen, who have stepped in to be caregivers. And one of the greatest caregivers that I've seen in my life, in particular, is my dad. Right now, as he's the last 3 or 4 years, he's been a caregiver to my mom, who has early stages of Alzheimer's. And just to see him just day in and day out be a caregiver to her is amazing. He gives her meals, you know, every day, prepares them, constant contact with her, everything from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed, doctor's appointments, you name it. He's there giving care, and it's amazing to see the love that someone has for another person and the care that someone has for another person, that they would just selflessly be willing to do this. And, you know, it's amazing to see what it takes to be able to be responsible for a person 24/7. I know as a parent, you know, what it's like to be responsible for a child 24/7. But there's a little difference when you're responsible for an adult 24/7. The attitudes, the mindset, the maturity level of a child is different than the attitudes and the maturity level of an adult. And so there's a little bit of finesse that goes there. Whole lot of patience that goes involved in it, and with Alzheimer's, and we'll probably do real soon a broadcast on Alzheimer's. Many times, what reality is no longer reality, and to hear some of the things that they say one day, and then some of the things that they say the next day, is always a challenge, and you have to understand that, you know, that's what's reality to them right there, but it might not be what, you know, actually is. And, you know, you really have to take your hat off to those caregivers who understand that and deal with that on a daily basis. They deal with it day in and day out. You know, just on today, we had an incident with my mom where she thought that my father had fallen down and that someone had taken him to the hospital, and that someone was coming to pick her up to take her to the hospital. And then I called my dad and ask him, "Hey, all right, you fall down?" He's like, "No, I didn't fall down. I'm not at the hospital or going to the hospital." But that is her trending now. Is those things that are vivid to her are not reality, and so there's going to come a point without the intervention of a supernatural intervention or the development of medications or treatments to prohibit this type of memory loss. Eventually, she will get to a point where she'll barely or won't be able to recognize him or many of her family members. It's almost like a complete stranger. And so, you know, someone giving care in that particular situation really needs to be appreciated, really needs to be thanked, really needs to be encouraged, and really needs to sometimes be given a break. I know this Sunday I'm going to go over and give him a break, spend some time with my mom and, you know, taking her to church and things like that, to give him a break, because you need that break of constantly being on guard, constantly being there to make sure that every little detail is taken care of, to prevent that person from hurting themselves or harming someone else. So it's important to take your hat off and make sure that you know, plan in your schedule to give the caregiver some type of relief. Because believe it or not, they burn out quicker than what we might think. The incidences of burnout are quick, and some of the things that lead to burnout are the caregivers not taking care of themselves. And when you begin to see that, then what happens is now they're in need for care, and so there's another need for more caregivers. So we have to be very cautious and very adept and very astute to what's going on. When you look at caregivers, many times they are the last ones that a person is going to see in their life. And so a lot of times they face death also. And so, you know, caregivers that are, you know, dealing with people's in their last stages of life, dealing with, you know, not so much of the greatest days of their lives, but when people are going downhill, needing various types of medication and different types of physical and, you know, mental and spiritual needs, that these people are on the front lines, you know, as far as with, you know, bathing and, you know, bathroom times of use and all of these things where a person would normally be able to do it, the caregiver steps in and helps provide that service. And many of them do it day in and day out, and they provide a certain type of dignity to a person in their last stages of life. And it's so important to realize that seeing that on a regular basis, whether consciously or subconsciously or knowing or unknowingly, that has effect on people. You know, I often talk to first responders who have that same effect of being there during, you know, the worst of people's lives, during, you know, car accidents or fires or drownings or things like that, or shootings. That the first responders, you know, they see this, and that trauma of being first there to see that begins to wear on them as well. And so we see this also with caregivers, where they are there during the last stages of people's lives, during some of the most, difficult times, where a person is losing control of themselves and their faculties are not able to do like they normally did when they were younger or didn't have the things that are going on in their lives. And, you know, it's a tough situation for them to be in, but to also, you know, be under the continual facing of seeing a person go down or struggle and then eventually to pass on in death. And so that begins to draw on them, begins to drain on them. And so we have to, as a community, continue to encourage them that they would be well and that they would experience wellness and that we would be concerned and that we would take time out to give them spells of relief, to give them opportunities to just take a break sometimes. Some of the things on one of the websites that deal with caregivers and special care givers relief, and they have these tips for caregivers. And one of the tips that they have is that they should be relieved as far as, you know, letting them exercise every day and get outdoors and helping them to get sleep and helping them to realize some of their medical situations and make sure they are getting their medical treatment. Give them a chance of laughing, possibly, you know, going out to a movie or you know, something that, you know, where they can share stories or spend time with their family. And then also the biggest point that they're telling us is for them to ask for family help, to ask for friends' help, for religious groups' help, in helping to bear that burden. And I think that there's enough people. I think there's enough people in the world. I think there's enough folks that we can adequately help to relieve the caregivers. It doesn't mean that we have to be the professional or trained in these ways, but it means that we can lend a helping hand for a couple hours here, a couple hours there, maybe just an hour here or an hour there for a person to be able to get away and go do something for themselves, take care of their health, rest, go to a movie, a play, get outside, exercise, you know, go for dinner or something. But to give them that break and then to have that around the clock, you know, that's what our family here in the D.C. metropolitan area is trying to do with my dad, is just, you know, be there and give him a little relief here and there. But he does an awesome job, and he understands the struggle. And right now, the prognosis is that it will get worse and worse, and that he's prepared himself to deal with that. And he's unwavering, unflinching, still pleasant, still, you know, encouraging, still loving, still there through all those years. It's just amazing to see how they continue. He continues to do it day in and day out. And so, you know, whatever we can do as far as the children, as far as the grandchildren, those are the things we try to do to spell him to help with his caregiving. And, you know, many times it's they're the unsung heroes. They're the ones that are there at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're the ones that are there at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're the ones that are making all the doctor's appointments. They're the ones that are there that are feeding and clothing and making provisions for bathroom facilities and special equipment and beds and, you know, all of the things that, you know, usually the average person doesn't see. You know, this is what they're dealing with on a daily and a regular basis. And, It's just amazing. We thank God for all of our caregivers all around the world who you know, bring wellness to our community just by caring for those in need, and it's something, and that's why we have to continue to bring it up. That's why we have to continue to just encourage them. Not to say that everyone is a good caregiver. I know there's some folks who have some horror stories, but the majority of people who enter into this, whether willingly or unwillingly, they do the job, and they do it admirably, and they continue for as long as it takes. And so we need to recognize them. We need to make sure that we are continuing to support them in whatever ways that we can. And, you know, it's a time, like I said, there's a time and a place for everything. And, you know, the National Family Caregivers Month is usually in November. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, people wait for that once a year, you know, during that month to do it. But I think that we should recognize that we need to do this on a monthly basis, where we are encouraging people. And again, there's enough of us to be able to provide relief for caregivers on a monthly basis, and to just let them know that they're appreciated, to step in. And, you know, if you can, you know, donate 2 hours a month, you know, that's, you know, it doesn't even add up to 2 days if you look at it over a year. And you know, just donate that time to you know, helping someone who's a caregiver. Because, again, like we said at the beginning of the broadcast, if, you know, trends and cycles continue, there's going to come a point where all of us are going to need some type of caregiving, or someone to give us care. And we want to make sure, amen, that we didn't neglect our part, and we have the ability to do it. And heaven forbid that someone would neglect us during the time that we need it. And so, you know, sometimes that stuff is what we need to think about, and it motivates us to say, you know, what would I do if no one cared, if no one was there for me during my time of need? You know, how would that feel? And to imagine that, that wouldn't be something that any of us would want to experience, that, you know, we should be prompted or encouraged to go and to help and participate in caregiving. So that's what we're talking about tonight. And if you want to be a part of the conversation tonight, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're going to take about a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
And we're back. Thank you for holding through the break. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, thanking all of our very fine listeners who continue to listen in, continue to go to the archives and listen to our broadcast. Truly, you have blessed us tremendously, and we thank you so very much. And we, as always, invite you to continue to do that. And for those who are listening for the first time, if you want to go to any of our archive broadcasts, you can simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Pastor C, and you can scroll down to the on-demand section, and you can listen to all of our broadcasts in their entirety, beginning when we started in April of last year. And as always, if you want to get us on Twitter, you can hit us at PACDC316. Also, Facebook at Pastors Aid, PASTORSAID. And we'll be glad to socialize with you on those social networks. Also, we just want you to know that immediately after this broadcast, about 15 minutes after the broadcast, that this broadcast will be available for those who want to hear it in its entirety. And again, we just thank everyone who continues to listen in, continues to support us here at Pastors Aid CDC. It's truly been a blessing, and we thank God for you, and thank you for everything that you're doing for Pastors Aid CDC. Tonight, we're talking about caregivers and the importance of caregivers. I was just sharing earlier that my mother is in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and my father is giving care to her around the clock, and it's amazing to see how much energy it takes, but the willingness of caregivers to just pour out whatever's needed for the person that they care about. And you know, it has to come down with that care, that compassion, or that love that you have for someone. I know in another instance with my wife and her mother, my mother-in-law, when she developed problems in her colon and had to have many surgeries, that my wife and her sister, who lives in Maryland, would venture to the hospital every week. He would drive approximately 3 hours each way every weekend to go see about their mom and make sure their mom was taken care of, make sure the doctors were doing what they're supposed to do. And just round the clock, that vigilance, just letting her know when she was in coma, when she was unable to know what was going on around, and they were there, they were, you know, giving her baths and doing her hair and, you know, rubbing her with lotion and making sure the bathroom facilities were taken care of, and she didn't have bed sores or anything like that. And they just did it around the clock. And it was like there was nothing, no question, no, you know, I'm not going to do it, or I don't feel like doing it. There was times when they were tired, but they just continue to do it. They just did it. It was something that they do. And, you know, I think that's the quality of what that true caregivers have, is that it's not something that is a burden for them to do. My goodness. It's not something that is a burden for them to do. It's something that they do. Bless the Lord. It's something that they do because of what's in them, the compassion that they have for their loved ones or for others. It's that compassion that they have that this is something they want to do. This is something that they desire to do. And they're compelled and they have to do. And because they desire and they're compelled and they have to do it, it is something to behold. You know, the 3 hours down, the, you know, going to the laundromat, the preparing of the food, the stopping by the house, making sure the house was straight, the different types of clothing that they had to buy, the constant communication with the doctors and constant communication with the nurses and, you know, all of that while still working full-time jobs, taking care of families, you know, ministry, just unbelievable what they did and you know, they're not the only one, you know, talk about my dad and my wife, they're not the only ones to do this. This is something that's done on a regular basis. It's done on a regular basis by many, many people around the world. And I just thank God for their spirits. I just thank God for their willingness to give unselfishly like that, yielding, you know, just constantly yielding themselves to someone else. It's an awesome thing. And, you know, down through the years as a pastor, you can see many people, you know, go from great health to poor health to death. And to watch many of the family members rally around that person who might have had a disease like cancer or some other type of disease, and just to see them there through the thick, through the thin, through the good, the bad, through the tough times is awesome to see. It's something where you really are grateful for to see them gather around and rally around and do these things. And, you know, like I said, I've seen the best in people. I've seen the worst in people. But I do believe that caregivers are essential to a wellness of our community, and they are the best of people, I tell you. They are the ones who get little credit. There's very little pay, if any, very little gratitude, because during some of the stages, particularly with cancer patients, they get a little angry and irate. I've experienced that with several caregivers saying that as they caregive to the people dealing with cancer, that the medication and just the irritability of being sick, the side effects of the medication, the problems that occur during these times make them irritable. And, you know, a lot of times when people are sick, they're not very approachable. They're not very nice. I know when I'm sick and tired and worn out, that I'm not very nice to be around. And, you know, that's just, you know, a few times a year. But can you imagine a person being, you know, sick for a long period of time, how that will affect their attitudes and how it would affect their demeanor? And so when you see, you know, people with attitudes and demeanor from, you know, side effects of medications or just the overall thing of being sick, and you see a caregiver have to deal with that day in and day out, oh, it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing to see him do it and to be able to put up with, you know, those mood swings and frustrations that people go through, and to see him, you know, wither down or waste away from a disease called cancer. It is a thing to behold. I believe God has prepared people and that he has allowed certain people to be able to do these things. And I thank God for that. Because, again, everybody cannot do it. Everybody cannot do it. And so if you want to give a shout-out to a caregiver tonight, the phone lines are open. You can call at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. If you just want to give a shout-out to a caregiver, you know, someone is holding it down, you know, in the sake of some. On someone else, you know, just give them a shout out. Say, hey, I appreciate you. Hey, I appreciate what you're doing. Hey, be encouraged. Hey, I'm here for you. Hey, I want to give you a hand on such and such date. You know, I'll be there for you. Go to the mall, get your hair done, your toes, nails, whatever. You know, buy you a meal. You know, just a sign of appreciation to give them a break and let them know that, you know, someone is still thinking about them. So, again, if you want to give someone a shout-out in that area, please call in at 347-324-5569. We're going to take another quick break and be back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
About how they continue to do it year after year and week after week and month after month and day after day. And we were just giving them shouts out and thanking them. We were trying to get someone on the phone that knows a little bit about being a caregiver. Let's see if we can get her tonight. Dial this number. See if they're available.
Hello.
Hello, Sister Randolph.
Yes. How are you?
How you doing? This is Pastor C.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Let me take this pill right quick.
We got you on the radio. You go ahead and take your pill.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
You good?
I'm good. I'm sorry.
Hey, thanks for taking the call tonight. We're talking about caregivers. And one of the things I wanted to find out from you is what are some of the things that caregivers go through as far as being tired or needing a break?
Caregivers are, it's a tough assignment or it's a tough job to do, but it's the gift of God that leads you to do it first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to have that gift. because it's way beyond the normal call of duty.
Right.
And it's one of those things where you can't say, I'm going to do it, and when comes time for you to do it, you look for somebody else to do it, or you got to you get turned off.
Right, right.
Caregiving is a love for life, a love for your fellow man, a dedication to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives you the strength to do everything that you have to do in your life. And this is the thing that you know, if the time comes for you to be a caretaker, you know that God didn't give it to you and then not give you all the tools to carry it out.
Exactly.
I can't find the words to describe what it takes to do it. But when you do it and all goes well, that's the reward of saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength.
Right.
I've been that for so many people. And you're blessed, the other person is blessed, and God gets the glory because he gave it to you. And when you carry it out and you've given it your best, it's a satisfaction that you can't even describe. Anything that God does, the Holy Spirit prepares you to do it. You can't describe it. It's just that it takes so much out of you.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, you go to bed, and this, I talk about it all the time. Weeping may do us the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you get up, and you see it was rough yesterday, but the day is a new day, and then he gives you that strength to keep going.
So what?
That's the way it is.
What type of encouragement would you give to today's caregivers as far as taking care of their own health?
You have to. Sometimes you will go lacking for yourself, and I'm good at doing that, and it can take its toll. But I always say, I just always keep in mind that you have to space your time. You know your, you know yourself. You know your capacity as far as your strengths are, your lows and your highs. You know your body. You know what you can and what you cannot do. And sometimes you may have to call somebody else in to relieve you, to relieve you. But you have to be the determining factor as to what you can do and what you can't do. And I have a tendency to take it a little further. That's not good. It's not good sometimes, but sometimes that's what it takes, because
that's what's required.
That's what is required. I reflect back with my husband, but maybe because it was my husband, I reflect back with April.
Right.
I could go to bed tired, but when I heard that little voice, up on the floor, I'm up there to comfort her on the pillows or escort her to the bathroom or whatever.
Right.
If she has to throw up, or she's hungry, if she wants water, God just gives it to you. You know, she can't do it, and you want her comfortable. You want them comfortable. It's a 24/7. It's a 24/7, especially if you there, if the person is there in the house with you.
It's exactly.
You don't have no set time. Your time is not yours.
24/7.
Right. And if you are thinking about taking something like that on, you got to plan it. You got to have everything set in place. Just for yourself, if you go in the hospital or something, when you come home, it's based on how your house is. You have everything that they need at that fingertip: the water, the bedroom slippers, the house coat, the table, the food for they eat, the things you know that they have, that medicine, their everything is there. It's because you can't always be right there.
Right.
If it's that fingertip where they can get it, then that relieves you because it's on the in the back of your mind. You know, if you're in another room, so what would happen if you're not there and they need something? You gotta think ahead. When I was in the hospital this last time, they was telling the other nurses, "You don't have to worry about Miss Randolph because she's got everything in place. She doesn't need you to do this. She's got this there. She's got that there. She's, you know." I knew what I was going to need at the hospital. So you don't become an invalid. But with a caretaker, they are. And you have to be their everything. And when I say everything, their everything.
Just like an infant.
Yes, sir. That's what it is. That is what it is. That from what they put on their bodies, their, you know, the position they're sitting in the bed, helping them up, giving them breakfast, giving them lunch, everything on time, their medication, their water, their hair, lotion, whatever that doctor says that they must have.
Right.
You must be there to do it. If it's nothing but, I think about my neighbor across the street all the time, and I'll just call her to see if everything's okay. I know that she loves certain kind of foods, and when I cook certain things I know she likes, I'll call her and take it to her. But we as Christians, true Christians, God is expecting us to do these things.
But I remember when the women of the church and the men of the church used to get together if there was someone that was ill in the community. Would get together and it was nothing. They would make sure the family, not only the person that was ill, but the family was fed, the clothes were washed, the lawn was taken care of, the sheets were changed, the bathrooms were clean.
That's right.
And they just went and they just did it.
You did it. I remember in another church, I used to feed this guy. He was blind. And I took him his lunch and dinner every Saturday. Another friend of mine, she had MS. And I had just retired. And I took care of her. Her husband had to work. Her children had to work. And there was nobody there. And she didn't have the kind of hospitalization to have home care. You have to be in that person's shoe. And I guess because the kind of community where we lived as children, people saw after each other. Did not expect somebody to come in and do anything. And if somebody needed something, regardless of how small it might be, you did it. If Miss Alice needed a bucket of coal to be taken to in the house, my dad would say, "James, Amanda, y'all go get that coal and take it to her."
That's it.
If a wife was expecting a child, those wives was there when that baby was delivered. There was no hospital. Baby was born at home.
You tell your age now, honey.
That's right. Yes, sir. You took care of each other. And you're talking about welfare. That was the welfare.
Praise. Bless God.
And so this generation, they don't know nothing about that kind of thing. They don't know what the need of a person just, this was it Christmas. I was sick, but I fed a family. Fed a family. Packed it up, went in my cupboard.
That's it.
And I bought the turkey. But that was one family happy.
Exactly.
And that comes from why my parents raised us. You didn't see anybody in need and then profess to be a Christian and let them go hungry. Mm-mm. That's unheard of.
And it seems like that compassion, I wouldn't say all of it is gone, but it seems like more people are more selfish or self-centered than willing to share and be selfless.
Exactly. And I was so concerned about feeding the ladies at the assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
Prepared food for 6 people over there. They were so happy. Christmas Day, it was delivered to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I you're connected with the church and you're connected the way that you have taught us, Pastor, and the things that our church do. A lot of people don't see it, but it's going on.
It's going on, and it's affecting the lives of people.
Exactly. God sees it. God sees it, and that's it. We don't have to worry about it.
Absolutely.
He knows what heart of God is doing. That's an offspring from our church. Giving.
That's right.
Sowing a seed into somebody's life that's meaningful. It's and I always speak of our church. I always speak of my pastor. First thing, what church do you attend?
Bless you.
But these are things that we must do. We must do. And the cards and the phone calls and everything, and everybody's worrying about, well, who's been to see you? I don't need nobody to see me. God is here with me.
I knew that's right.
But people have to work. My family has to work. I know they love me. They don't have to prove nothing to me.
I know that's right.
People get hung up on these kind of things. Like my dad always says, I don't need you when I'm up, I need you when I'm down. And you can call me and say, how you doing? I'm fine.
Right.
I'm fine. I'm just as happy as I can be. And
I know that's
true. Not a soul has been here. You came to see me. My son came to see me. Jewel came one day.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it, I didn't even turn the TV on.
I know that's right.
I did a bedskin game because I didn't want my blood pressure to go up. Everybody that came in the room would say, the TV's not on. I don't want to see
exactly.
It.
Exactly. I was it.
I was it. I do not want it in my spirit, these crazy people. I'm concentrating on getting well and getting out of here.
Amen.
So you
Amen.
Have to put on that Christian hat. Think godly. Think holy. And people say it's braggadocious. But when you read his word, he says, lean on him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't concentrate on God with the TV jumping in there.
I know that's right.
Somebody
no way to
on
wear.
The other side,
no way to
on wear. The other side, sick as a dog, and you praying. I got out of my bed one night, two nights to help people. Wasn't able, had the whole thing dragging it to the next side of the bed. The woman was hollering, just hooping and hollering, trifling to hit the buzzer for the nurse. But you do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. And that's what caregivers do. They do what they have to do. And I was sharing with our radio listeners earlier about watching my wife when she would every weekend just pack up, you know, after a long week of work.
Mm-hmm.
And drive their 3 hours down every weekend.
Yes, Lord.
Just make sure her mom had everything she needed, make sure the doctors were doing what they were supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Go to the grocery store, go to the laundromat,
help
with the bills, all of that stuff, and then turn right back around.
Yes.
Drive their 3 hours and come back out and still do everything the First Lady does for ministry.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's your mindset. Like today, I made up a vow to my Heavenly Father. I will be there to see about my sister. The days that I'm not busy, I will be there to take care of her.
Yep.
That's the right thing to do. Stop making suggestions about what should be done. What are you doing? Why not me? You remember you taught that pastor to us?
Oh, Lord.
You remember you told us? Stop pointing fingers and say, why not me?
Yep.
Send me, Lord.
Don't ask what the church can do for you, what you can do for the church.
Exactly. So you can't say that you're not being led in a godly manner to prepare you to do it his way. To do it his way. And when you get my age, if you think of anything opposite to this, something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely wrong. And sometimes he sets you down to get you prepared. To do his work. And
so you can see clearly.
Exactly.
And hear.
Exactly.
And hear clearly.
I just thank him every day, day, that he gives me strength. He leads me. And I hate to keep saying it, but the daily bread yesterday, hit it dead on the head.
Yep.
Hit it dead on the head. I got up this morning with a different attitude.
All right now.
Things to
It takes constant drawing on the source, the power source,
right.
That's the source of God, to give us the strength to be able to be caregivers, to be able to be the ones that are there around the clock 24/7. And if you don't have that, then it's going to be harder.
For you
than,
to do
and
it.
It's already a hard job, but it'll be even harder.
Hard job.
You don't have that spiritual resource to draw on. Especially when someone, you're saying, going from good health to poor health to the stages of to death.
Yes.
That's traumatizing on anyone.
It is. Believe me, it is. And prayer, like yesterday in the daily bread, was speaking of a specific, be specific about what you pray for. God, give me the strength. Give me the strength. And after I read it, I sat there. And I always say, I say simple prayers. I don't have no
prayers.
I talk directly to my daddy. And I tell him what I want.
All right.
And I had a good day today. I knew I had to go to the doctor. I knew I had to drive myself.
Uh-huh.
Like today, they had me sit a little while. And I'm a changed woman. I know I am.
I know that's right.
15 minutes, and she said, I went up and I told her, I said, I've been sitting here for a little while, and they haven't called me to take my blood. So the girl said, well, just go on back. They'll call you. Now, I seen the time out. I said, no, I ain't going nowhere. You better get up the phone and find out why they haven't called me. But I took a different approach. So I waited another 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
So I went back to the lab.
Uh-huh.
And I said, do you have Violet Randolph's name back here? She said, no, I don't. She said, but I saw the look on your face when I came out there.
I'm going to get it quick.
I could do some body language real fast.
I'm going to get it quick.
So she said, I am so sorry. But they didn't put it in the computer. So they
put
it in the computer and it runs out in her office. And then she knows who has to have lab
gotcha.
Work. And so when I went to the counter, the girl said, well, you walked. I said, no. I've seen the time out. I told her, you shut up. You lying. But I didn't. I said, no.
Uh-huh.
I sat there for 15 minutes, and then I came to the desk, and you told me to go back. I would be called.
Right.
I said, but I've been sitting a half an hour, and I'm
right.
just getting waited on. She couldn't say nothing, but I was
uh-huh.
nice. didn't let my voice go over my nose, and I did it the godly way.
Amen.
But, you know,
amen.
I got waited on, thanked them, and went out. Left. But it makes a difference. It makes a
it
difference.
It does. It really does.
At the same. So, because they are caretakers too. Those
oh, absolutely.
Going,
absolutely.
They it takes a lot. All these patients coming in and out, and all of them have different situations.
Right, right.
With me today, everybody's sitting in there with a mask on. Believe
mm-hmm,
me,
mm-hmm.
This bug is not a joke.
It is not a joke. I went to the physician today myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but,
sir.
Thank the Lord that I got a good report. That,
good.
Don't have any major bug or anything. Just
thank
the
Lord.
A little sinus.
Mm-hmm.
Irritation,
yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
I had a good caregiver today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I had a good
absolutely.
Caregiver today. So.
Good caregiver, and I guess it's a gift. No, it's not a guess. That's a gift from God to be a caregiver. You have to have a compassion and love for people, a caring love. To it's an effort in your spirit that says, I need to do this, I need to do that. And God, if you pray about it, he will show you how to do it. He gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the compassion to do it. And
mm-hmm.
It's easier.
That's right.
But it's a tough task. It's a tough task. And you have to have a plan and how you're going to do it. And
right.
If you care for it, whatever the situation might be, and they all differ.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes it
every case is different. Every
it
case is different.
Different. So you have to put on that smile, be kind, loving, to make
it
feel good.
One of the things that I referenced earlier, and I'm sure you've gone through it, is that there's a time where when people are on medication, when they're not themselves, how does a caregiver deal with a person's personality changes, attitudes, those type of things as a caregiver? How do you deal with those things?
You definitely have to put your positive hat on because they will fight you back, say ugly things, but you have to realize that's not them. That's
mm-hmm.
not the norm. They are irritable. They are in pain. They are dealing with things internally
mm-hmm.
that make them react that way.
Right.
And you can't fight fire with fire. You have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. You have to be kind, compassionate, ask questions. Is this what you want? What
right.
do you want? And then with sick people, and
mm-hmm.
especially cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
they say, I want this, and you can go and prepare it and fix it just the way they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at you and say, I don't want it.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can't get angry because that's the way it is. At the moment when they say they want it, they really do.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And once it's in front of them, whether it's a glass of milk or juice or water, you have to know that person and know that
right.
they are not being mean, but they are sick.
Mm-hmm.
They're sick in their body. It affects their brain. It affects their mind. And that medicine, just like my medicine, I do everything I got to do before I take that one pill, because once I take that pill,
it's the knockout punch.
I'm out of here. I am out of here until in the morning.
I know that's right.
Hear me, and I don't hear no phones ringing. I don't hear nothing. Same thing with a sick person that you have to take care of.
Right.
You have
so you have to be prepared, for that person not to behave.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
the way they normally behave because they are ill or sick.
Exactly.
Because so.
I had to get Jewel and Becky in the frame of mind. I am not well. when I was in Atlanta one Friday night. I was so sick I couldn't hold my head up. And they didn't realize how sick I was.
Right.
And so Rodney said, "My Aunt Vi don't look right. There's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She's not feeling good. We got to get her home." I was
right.
sick. But I didn't want to spoil everybody else's time. You know,
right.
by laughing and talking and enjoying each other. But
right.
you have to have that mindset when you are in the presence of sick people.
Right.
I watched those nurses at that hospital. Everyone, five people came in that bed. And
uh-huh.
they had that beautiful personality, that smile,
mm-hmm.
kind words, comfort. It was
right.
comfort.
Right. And that's so important.
Each one. That
so
is
important.
Important. Yes, it is.
That helps to relieve the uncertainty, the
exactly.
aches, the pains, the tiredness, the frustration when someone knows how to
approach
that person.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call it the bedside manner.
Bedside manner. Everything is everything. It is everything. And you have to possess that for the sick and the needy. It's just like the kids in the school. I told my principal, "I'm sorry, but I got to show a little love to my kids."
Uh-huh.
I got to show a little love to my kids, and that means I'm going to put my hands on them.
That's it. We are humans.
If you want to write me up, write me up. But that's the bottom line. I said, and their parents come here, I tell them the same thing. I bust them little boys upside the head. They go home talking, "Mr. Randall, hit me side of the head." "That's right, Mama." I said, "Because I'd rather hit them side of the head on their hands when they're doing their work wrong than to see them on 6 o'clock news with a coat over their head."
Isn't that something?
Said, "Thank you, Miss Randolph. Thank you." I said, "That's called love. You can't buy it."
Isn't that something?
Can't buy
Isn't
it.
That something?
That's to show love and compassion to in any kind of situation.
Right.
You can be a caretaker, a caregiver in so many walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
That will heal the soul.
My goodness.
That will heal the soul. And you can't get that sitting home and not going to church, knowing the life God wants you to live. Nobody's going to give it to you but God. You can't
That's right.
get that but one way, and that is in His holy word. That's why it's called the Bible. It teaches you and shows you, and it will give you the desires of your heart. If you just turn to it.
And show you that love and that compassion that's needed to deal with each other.
Each other.
Deal with each other.
And don't
in whatever stage, whatever stage we are in our lives.
In our
lives. So that's what we're looking. We're looking for more caregivers, more people with that compassion and that love.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Randolph, we thank you as always. For sharing the wisdom with us, and we pray that your physical body will get well.
I'm getting there, but this time I'm being obedient.
Good.
God showed it to me to be obedient.
And we pray that all of your caretakers are compassionate,
yes.
as you are compassionate during your caretaking days.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I love every moment of it. Thank
you. All right.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank you for
again.
Calling.
We're going to let you go.
Okay. And
all right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Sister Violet Randolph of the Heart of God Baptist Church. Truly a woman is blessed by God to be able to be a caregiver to many, many people. Thank God for her insights on tonight, and we are just prayerful that everyone that's going to listen to this broadcast will just take a day, take some time to let a caregiver know that you appreciate them. You know, give them a card, give them a gift card, give them a couple hours off, do something for them, set up a nail, pedicure, manicure for them, do something for a caregiver, and try to do it on a monthly basis. I believe if enough of us do that, we would make a difference in their lives, and they would be more rested and relaxed and prepared and ready to continue to be caregivers. And to all you caregivers, my hat's off, goes off to you. Appreciate you so much for what you're doing. Pray God will continue to bless you and renew your strength that you can continue to be that loving caregiver that you are currently being. And as always, remember, definitely want to be of the mindset that we reap what we sow. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. And so we have to be mindful of that. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight, this Friday night. It's been a blessing to be able to be with you again. And we plan on picking back up with you on Sunday evening. And we'll thank everyone again for tuning in tonight. And we'll see you on Sunday night. So yeah, God bless all the caregivers and all of our listeners. And so we'll see you on Sunday night. Good night.